Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Let me shout it again and again. He's alive. I said, He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven and heaven's gates are open wide. Hallelujah. Now, I'll never forget, several years ago, I was at my home church on Easter Sunday. And I came walk out of the sanctuary, and my grandson, he comes running out of children's church. He said, Papa, Papa, Papa. I said, but what, buddy? He said, did you know those evil bad guys, they killed Jesus? I said, really? He said, don't worry about it. He got up. Come on now. The gospel according to a six-year-old. Come on now. Guess what? He got up. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. If you have your Bibles, and I trust you do, would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke. Ah, that's good stuff. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Beginning with verse number 1. The Gospel of Luke. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Luke, chapter 24. If you're there, shout, I'm there.
I'm there.
Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse number 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared with certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed their heads to the earth. They said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen instead. I'll say it again. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen instead. Church, let's begin to rejoice, because Jesus is alive. Come on, somebody. I said, let's rejoice because he's alive. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's alive forevermore. Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word is life-giving. Your word is life-changing. Father, I believe today, because of your holy word, we will never, ever be the same again. We thank you. Now we bless you. And all of God's people said together, amen. That sounded good. You better say it again. Amen. Let us rejoice because he is alive. You see, there were two trees and there were two gardens. One tree was where the first Adam disobeyed God and the curse came upon mankind. But at another tree, the last Adam obeyed God and mankind was redeemed from the curse. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the first Adam said to God, not thy will, but my will be done. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the last Adam, Jesus said to the Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He prayed in the garden. Our Lord Jesus prayed. The Bible tells us he prayed in such earnestness. He prayed that his sweat became great drops of blood falling to the ground. All of a sudden, the soldiers came along with Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord Jesus. And Jesus was taken from there to a mock trial. And Jesus between Pontius Pilate and the people. And Pilate said to the people, at this time, at this season, this feast time, we'll always release one prisoner to you. Who can we release? Is it Barabbas? Or is it Jesus? And the people cried out, Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas. Release, and it was Barabbas. Then Pilate said, but what will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? I'm asking the same question to you. What will you do with this Jesus, who is called the Christ? And the people cried out, crucify him, crucify him. and Pilate's wife, her name was Claudia Pecula. She said, have nothing to do with this man because I've suffered much in a dream because of this man. And Pilate then said, take him and let him be scourged and then let him be crucified. Let him be scourged. Now that's a simple term, we think. That's a very easy word, a light term, to be scourged. But no, because when somebody was scourged, there was a severe, brutal beating, harsh beating. And many men never lived beyond the point of being scourged. What happened? Jesus was scourged. What is that? He was beaten severely. We are told that they would use a whip known as the cat of nine tails. Because at the end of that short whip, there were nine streamers of leather. We're told on each streamer, there was four objects, broken bones, broken glass, broken metal, sometimes hooks were there, up to four objects upon each streamer. So you've got nine streamers of leather with four objects on each. What is that? That's 36. And guess what? It didn't stop there because the whip came down how many times? 39 times. So you got a possible, what? Nine streamers, four objects on each, that's 36. 39 times, that's 1,404 possible marks upon our Lord Jesus. And the Roman centurion came down viciously and he plowed that whip into the back, to the sides, to the neck, to the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came down, what, 39 times? We're told the whip came down. Christian history tells us that 39 times. Is that coincidence? No. Because in the Old Testament, there are 39 categories of sickness and disease that's mentioned. 39, why is that? Because from Genesis to Malachi, there are 39 books in the Old Testament that pointed to the coming of a healing Jesus. They came down time and time and time again. The Bible tells us, and by his stripes, we were healed. Hallelujah. But Pilate says, have him scourged and then have him crucified. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 23, verse 33, and when they came to the place that is called Calvary, there they crucified him. They nailed our Lord upon the tree between two thieves, and there the blood began to run down. The blood ran down Calvary's cross. The blood ran down all the way to Golgotha's ground, and Jesus was there upon that cross. And he cried out seven different decrees. But one of the decrees he cried out loud. He said, it is finished. Come on, say that please. It is finished. I want you to know Jesus did not say, I am finished. But he said what? It is finished. But you see at that point, hell misunderstood what Jesus was saying. Hell thought that Jesus was saying, it's over for me. But guess what? It was just the beginning. Come on now. The Bible tells us he cried, it is finished. And then he gave up the ghost. He died. He was taken down. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was placed in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. You've heard it before. Why does the Bible call it a borrowed tomb? Very simple. He wasn't going to need it very long. Only for the weekend. Come on now. But Jesus died. Oh, thank God. He paid the price for you and he paid the price for me. But it didn't end there because when he died, heaven began to count to three. Come on now. And Jesus died and guess what? He went down, down, down. He went down, down, down. The Bible tells us that Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away every one of their weapons and all their authority and power who had to accuse us. By the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession that was triumphant. And Jesus was not their prisoner, but hell was his prisoner. Oh, yes. But then something happened. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. Rejoicing time coming on now. But on the morning, on that third day, something happened. I mean, there was a great getting up morning. Come on now. I'm talking about something happened because on the morning of that third day, the jaws of death the clutches of death, the icy bars that were not able to hold down the Son of God. He arose, come on somebody, up from the grave. He arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Come on, shout amen. He arose, he arose, he arose, he arose. But not only did Jesus arise, because the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 27, verse 52, at the same time that many of the Old Testament saints, men and women, what happened after the resurrection of Jesus, the Bible tells that many of these Old Testament saints, they came out of the grave. Oh, yeah. And they began to walk down the streets of Jerusalem. Can you see them now? I can see all the Old Testament saints who've been dead for a long, long time. They got up. They got up. Guess what? One of these days, you're getting up too. Come on now. But they got up. I can see it right now as they walk down the streets of Jerusalem. I'm seeing. Abel said, I saw him. He's alive. He's the Lamb of God. Abraham cried and said, I saw him. He's alive. He's my shield and exceeding great reward. Isaac cried, I saw him. He's alive. He's the ram that was caught in the thicket. Oh, he's alive. Joshua cried out, I saw him. He's alive. He's the captain of my salvation. Ruth cried out, I saw him. He's alive. He's my kinsman redeemer. David cried out, I saw him. He's alive. He is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Come on, somebody. Isaiah cried out. I saw him. He's alive. He's wonderful. Counselor of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Come on, somebody. And there was Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Micah and Obadiah and Zephaniah and Malachi. Oh, they cried out. He's alive. He's alive. Come on, somebody. I said, he is alive. Hallelujah. I'm so glad because he's alive. I'm alive in him. Come on, shout. He's alive. Oh, so many people saw him alive. Mary was the first to see him. And Mary cried out, Master, Master. And Jesus said, go tell my disciples and Peter. And Mary became the first woman preacher. Come on now. Oh, she said, he's alive. He's alive. The two men on the road to Emmaus, they saw him, the risen Lord. They cried out, he's alive indeed. Over 500 people saw him after the resurrection. Come on. I'm talking about he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. I love how John talked about him. I'm talking about John the Beloved. John the Reveler. John saw him. Yes, he saw him in the upper room alive, but he saw him again and again and again. John said in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, let's begin by verse number 10. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And, oh yeah, John said, and I turned and I saw him. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead and laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I've got the keys of death and of hell. Hallelujah. Oh, let me tell you something, church. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And because of that, my friend, you can have life indeed. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I'm alive. How many know he's alive? Come on, shout amen. Because of the resurrection. You see, at Calvary, hell was the last to know. See what do you mean? The Bible tells us if hell had known what really happened, that hell would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, hell was the last to know. And hell said, it's over, it's over. Satan was saying, I've got mankind. I'm going to keep mankind in torment for all of eternity. And Jesus said, over my dead body. Come on now. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about he's alive forevermore. Come on, somebody. Raise your hands up high with me and say, thank you, Lord. He ever liveth. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. You see the resurrection. Everything in Christianity, it stands or falls on the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection, it makes the difference. You see, there are many, many reasons why we should rejoice in the resurrection. Let me give you a few. I've got scores, but let me get just a few, okay? Number one, the resurrection supports the claims of Jesus. Guess what? If he said it, that settles it. Come on now. It's a done deal. You can take it to the bank. You see, the resurrection, it supports the claims of Jesus. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Come on now. If Jesus said it, beloved, hear me. If Jesus said this, and it's true, then guess what? We can believe every word that he said. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. Yes, the resurrection, it supports the claims of Jesus. But also the resurrection is backed up by the Old Testament. Oh, yeah. David, the sweet psalmist, prophesied concerning Jesus in Psalm 16, verse 10. David said, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. All through the Bible, we find people talking about the Lord, the Master, the Messiah. Come on, somebody. You see, the Old Testament talked about he's going to rise up on the third day. Woo! Hallelujah. Hell tried, but guess what? It didn't happen. Hell tried to stop it, but hell didn't have the stopper. Come on now. Hallelujah. He's alive. You see, we got the resurrection that backs up the claims of Jesus. We got the resurrection that's backed up, oh yeah, by the Old Testament. But know this, the resurrection, how it lets us know that the sin question has been settled once and for all. Amen. Jesus came forth out of the grave, and because of that, sin has been put away forever and forever. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, who has delivered, talking about Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again, woo, for our justification. Come on, somebody. Because of that, hallelujah, I'm sin free. I've been set free. I'm free. Everybody shout freedom. Freedom. I did an ancestry.com search. Guess who I'm kin to? I'm kin to William Wallace out of Scotland. I've got one word for you. Freedom, hallelujah. But let me tell you something, I've got freedom, not because of my ancestors of days gone by, but I got freedom because of Jesus Christ, the risen, resurrected, righteous Redeemer. Come on, shout amen. Because of the resurrection, the sin nature, oh, can be wiped away. Because of the resurrection, beloved, we can be free of sin. Come on, shout freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. But also know this, the resurrection secures for us an intercessor because he's alive. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. Let me pause right there. I've been saved from the guttermost to the uttermost. Come on now. Wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. Now, Pastor Mar was talking about that he was a rascal before he got saved. That's child's play. Guess what? I was a mess. Google the word mess. You'll find my word there. Come on now. You'll find my picture. Because when I got saved, I'm talking about 54 years ago, I was a nobody going nowhere. Went out 54 years ago, I weighed about 110 pounds. I was half the man I'm right now. Come on now. I was an alcoholic. I was a heroin addict, shooting drugs on a daily basis. I was an alcoholic. I was wicked, corrupt, vile, evil, sinister. I was in and out of jails and city jails. I served time twice in the state penitentiary as a teenager. I was evil, wicked, nasty, vile, sinister, corrupt. And those were my good points. Come on now. But guess what? The risen, resurrected, righteous Redeemer got a hold of me. Come on, shout. And whoa, glory to God. Hallelujah. And because he's alive, I'm alive as well. Hallelujah. But the Bible tells wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost. I said the uttermost. Those that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Sometimes you say, but I don't feel like praying. But guess what? He's praying. He's praying. He's praying for you. He is our intercessor, our mediator. Paul said there's one mediator between man and God, God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. He ever lives because he's alive. He ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. Come on, shout amen. But also, the resurrection is our assurance. It's our right to believe. Oh, yeah. Because he lives, we can live as well. Because if you believe in him, you trust him, and you believe there's power in the resurrection, you don't have to be the same. The Bible tells us in Romans, you've heard it before, Romans chapter 9 and 10 tells us, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, oh, what happens? With the mouth, confession is made of salvation. But you've got to believe in your heart. How many believers are here today? Let me see your hands. You believe in your heart that he's been raised from the dead. If you believe that and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. I'm so glad that we've got life in him. Jesus said, because I live, you can live also. Come on. Because I live, you can live also. Hallelujah. He's alive. Everybody shout, he's alive. He's alive. And one of these days, yeah, he got up. Guess what? One of these days, it's going to be another great getting up morning. Come on now. The Apostle Paul, I didn't know him personally. Maybe Pastor Mark did, but I didn't know him personally. I got to pick on you, Pastor, a little bit, okay? But Paul wrote these words. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. What? With a shout. With the voice of the archangel. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Ooh. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them to be in the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, 16 years ago, my wife left me for another man. She did. Jesus. And here was a few months after that, and I was missing my wife. She was my sweetheart, the love of my life, my best friend. I called her my hunka-hunka burning love. Come on out. I talked to her 3, 4, 5 times a day. If I was in Indiana, California, China, Japan, India, I called her all the time. Well, she got promoted to heaven. And here was a few months later, I was at a church in South Florida. And I said, Lord, I know she's with you, God. I know the Bible says one day the dead in Christ shall rise first. And all of a sudden, I had a vision. Oh, yeah. The Bible talks about dreams and visions. Pastor, have you ever had a dream, a God-given dream? Have you? He said, yes, I have it. But I had visions. Because the Bible says, you young men should see visions, and your old man should dream dreams. Oh, I like that, don't you? And I said, Lord, I miss my sweetheart. God, I know that one day she'll be getting up. But Lord, what about now? What about now? And all of a sudden, had a vision. I've only had a few visions. Some people have a vision every time they eat pasta. Come on now. But I've only had, 5 God-given Holy Ghost visions in my life. Had a vision. All of a sudden, I saw clouds begin to swirl in all around. And I was looking upwards and down and straight ahead, and I saw the saints of old. I saw all the believers had gone before me standing at the edge of heaven. And there were millions times millions by the mark. I saw them as far as the eye could see, even billions of them. The red, the yellow, the black, and the white. The Chinese, the Japanese, the Vietnamese, the Dutch, the Swiss, the French, the Zulu, the Swahili, the Mgali. I saw them. As I looked there, I mean, people that I'd known before personally, and people I didn't know, but I knew by the Spirit. I saw Kenneth Hagin in that vision. I saw my friend Lester Sumrall in that vision. I saw John Osteen. I saw some of my former pastors and friends and neighbors who gone on. And I saw people that I recognized by the Spirit. I said, that could be Isaiah. That could be Jeremiah. That could be Ezekiel. I saw people. I saw my dad had gone on before. I saw 2 of my sisters had gone on. And then all of a sudden, I saw my wife. I saw my wife, the love of my life. Ooh, hallelujah. And I saw them, multitude stand. They're all with robes, white robes, glistening. The robes were brighter than a million noonday suns. I looked at that vision, and all of a sudden, like somebody motioned them one time, and the millions times billions began to say this, Jesus, the risen Lord, is returning soon for his church. So go run the race and tell of his grace. They said it over and over again. Jesus, the risen Lord, is returning soon for his church. So go run the race and tell of his grace. I don't know how many times I said it. Maybe a dozen so times I said it. But I saw my wife there. Ooh. Where's she right now? My God, I don't know what's happening. She's probably moonwalking down the streets of glory, high-fiving the saints of old. Come on now. I mean, she's having a good old time, and I can't wait to be there. What about you, church? Amen. And we're going there one day because what? He said, because I live, you cannot live also. He said, hell comes against your life to destroy you, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But the risen Lord, I like to say the risen, resurrected, righteous Redeemer, he said, but I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And church, let me say this. 54 and a half years ago, I wasn't nobody going nowhere. My life was a mess. I was burnt out. My mind was sizzling and frying. Ooh, glory to God. But something happened. Something happened. I called out upon who? Not the babe of Bethlehem. I didn't call upon the man from Galilee, but I called upon Jesus, the risen, resurrected, righteous Redeemer. I said, Lord, I need you to come into my life and take over. Let me never be the same again. I'll never forget. Jesus came down. He touched my life. I called upon him. I believed that he was the risen Lord. And I began to confess in my mouth. And something happened. Something happened. That night, ooh, glory to God. He set me free. He set me free. He set me free 54 and a half years ago. And I haven't had a relapse since. Come on, somebody. Woo, glory to God. Can I tell you what happened? I got born again. I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a son of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I'm not brainwashed. I'm blood bought. Come on now. Hallelujah. Oh, because of my Jesus. Woo. Come on, somebody, raise your hands up high and say, it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. I got gloriously born again that night. Hallelujah. And the saints of God laid hands on me. I was bound by all those habits and chains and addictions and yokes and bonds and fetters. But that night, they laid hands upon me. And guess what happened? The risen Lord set me free. The risen Lord. Woo! I haven't smoked since then, but I've been on fire. Come on now. Hallelujah. He set me free from alcoholism and drug addiction and garbage and junk and yuck and trash and filth and slime. Come on now. And today, because of Jesus, I don't smoke, drink, dip, chew, cuss, snort, gamble, or chase ugly women. Come on now. Hallelujah. Because the risen Lord got a hold of my life. I'll say it again. He's alive. He's alive. And I'll say the same thing that Thomas, the apostle, said when he saw the risen Lord. And Jesus didn't open the door, but Jesus walked through the door. And Thomas saw him and saw the nail prints in his hands, saw the scars. Thomas cried out and says, my Lord and my God. When I think about him, church, I say the same thing. He's my Lord and he is my God. Would you come to the keyboard, please? Come to the keyboard and just begin to play. Begin to play in the key of R. That's for resurrection. Come on now. I'm singing. I got all kinds. H is for hallelujah. Come on now. G is for glory to God. But this morning, we're going to play the key of R for resurrection. How many know he's alive? Come on, church. He's alive. He's alive. I said, he's alive. He's alive forevermore. He's alive. He's alive. The battle was won at Calvary. But the victory was declared at the resurrection. The death, the burial, and the resurrection broke forever the power of a hold that Satan had over mankind. He's alive. Because of the resurrection, hell was stripped, shamed, and subdued. I'll say it again. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen instead. But so many people, they seek among the dead things of life. Money, position, popularity. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I've been poor. I've been blessed. Blessed is a whole lot better. Come on now. I'm going to turn 74 in a few days. Over my 74 years, I've had all kinds of cars. I've had vets. Everything from Corvettes to Chevettes. Come on now. Depends on what status I was in life. But you see, it's not about things. Things will never satisfy your life. It's not about things. But it's about serving the risen King of Kings. Come on now. You see, he rose. He got up. He got up. I like how my grandson said it. He said, Papa, don't worry about it. He got up. That hand motion. He got up. And one day you're getting up. You may live a long time. I don't know. I don't hang around for a long time. I don't hang around for a lot more years to torment the devil, loving all my grandbabies. Come on now. But one day, Jesus died. He was placed in the ground. What about you? See, life can be over so abruptly. You may live to be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, or more. This morning, one of my dearest friends, I preached for him when I first started traveling years ago, Pastor Ernest Dross, this morning in Peckville, Pennsylvania, Brother Ernest passed away. He was in the ministry for 72 years. But what a day to go home on Resurrection Day. Come on out. But one day, the Lord willing, we're all going to stand before him. There may be the rapture of the church. Thank God. I still believe in the rapture.
Amen.
But then again, I don't know. I don't know. It's appointed a man wants to die. You see, we're all going to die one of these days. My dad passed away. My mom passed away. Some of my sisters have passed away. My precious wife. My honk of burning love. You know where I live? I pass by the cemetery every day. Over the post office or, you know, Starbucks or something. You know, I pass by and I see your grave. I say, honey, one of these days you're getting up. One of these days you're getting up. What about your loved ones? Where are they today? They may be dead, but Jesus is alive. I mean, Buddha is still in the ground. Come on, somebody, he's dead. Confucius is on the ground, he's dead. Muhammad, that pathetic, perverted pedophile, he's dead. Soon to be in hell, but Jesus is alive. But Jesus, what about you, church? Jesus said this. Jesus said the hour's coming. The hour's coming in which all, they're in the graves, they shall come forth. He said, they that have done good, they'll rise to everlasting life. But they that have done evil, to everlasting damnation. What about, but I'm a good person, that's not enough. I don't smoke, drink, dip, chew, cuss, gamble, that's not enough. Have you made Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, the Lord of your life? Have you said, Jesus, come into my life and take over? Have you cried out and said, Lord, I need you in my life? I've been saved 54 and a half years, but I cry that all the time. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I am nothing. I need you. But have you ever made that full commitment? I'm not talking about just being a church member. I'm not just talking about maybe just coming on Easter Sunday. But have you said, Lord, I give you my all in all. Not just make him your savior, that's great. But make him the Lord of your life. Make him the Lord of your life. Have you said, Jesus, come into my life and take over my life? There are a lot of people today in churches all across this country, around the world. And they're good people. But many of them come to church today. If they died today, many of them will go to hell. Because being good is not good enough. You've got to be born again. You've got to surrender your all in all to Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad he got a hold of me, Brother Mark. He changed my life. I was a nobody. I was a nobody. He changed. He did a work of change in me. He changed me. I was a nobody. But he brought forth a change, C-H-A-N-G-E. Christ helps a nobody gain everything. Hallelujah. But let me ask you a question. today, if your life ended today, God forbid. Oh, the past 54 years, I preached funerals of those in their preteens. I preached funerals of those in their teens and 20s and 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Notice one was this. My daddy's mama. She passed away 2 days before she turned 100. She says, I don't want to live to be 100. That's just too old. Come on out. I did. We called her Mama JD. That's the oldest funeral I did. But you see, one of these, she's getting it one day. What about you, church? Do you know that you know that you know? Now we may be around to the rapture takes place, but then again, your life could end today. Your life could be over today. But I'm asking the question, do you know? Do you know that you know that you know? Do you know for sure, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're ready to meet God? But I've got plenty of time. 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 My neighbor, two houses down from me, about 20 years ago, a young girl, Lauren, 19 years of age, she had a physical attack. She was gone at a young age. We don't know, but we got to be ready. Do you know that you're ready? Do you know you're ready? Well, I think so. You're not ready. Well, I hope so. You're not ready. If all you have is a think so or a hope so, you're not ready. Because the Bible tells us repeatedly that you can know so. You can know that you pass from death to life. You can know that you have eternal life. If you die right now, do you know that you know you're ready?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.